This week, the inevitable upheaval in Edmonton. Tuesday PTSD, and it's playoff time, baby. Crack those beers. It's the Argos Fancast. You can find us at Argos Fancast on the Twitter and Instagram machines. And you can find the Argos Fancast at anywhere. You find your friend, the neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast or directly at theargosfancast.podbean.com. I'm Clay Chisholm. You can find me at All Kinds of Clay. And joining us, as always, our resident historian from ArgoFans.com, the VP of Football Operations, Will Gertler, MBA.
Hi, everybody. You can find me on Twitter at ArgoFans or at www.ArgoFans.com.
And from the double blue corner, Sir Douglas of House Valentine, second of his name, Lord of Section 116, Warden of the South Side, and Protector of the Realm.
Well, that sounds a lot better than the last show we did.
Who does number two work for?
What the hell? What? Where the fuck did that come from?
It sounds like he's straining.
Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder. On Twitter at Double Blue Order. On Instagram at The Double Blue Order. Get your Double Blue Order merch, including the law firm t-shirt, at doubleblueorder.ca.
Wow, our show is off the rails already. And we've just gone through the introductions. Okay. Well, I guess we got to talk about the biggest news so far this week. Edmonton has decided to literally gas everybody. The board of directors for the Edmonton Elks have terminated the contracts of president and CEO Chris Presson, general manager and vice president of football operations Brock Sunderland, and head coach Jamie Elizondo. And they will be retaining Wally Buono to help with rebuilding their front office. I'm actually kind of shocked that it happened so quickly. I thought with a community-owned team, it was going to take a little bit longer.
Well, they would have had an open revolt by their fan base if they hadn't.
You mean the other side that hasn't revolted because of the name change?
Exactly.
To be quite honest, like, you won the wooden spoon in your first year under a new rebrand. Good job. GG. Well done.
Oh,
it had to be done.
This was a team that I thought was going to contend for first in that division, and they were a complete clusterfuck.
Yeah. They literally mismanaged everything.
Everything from firing their equipment manager
to dealing with the COVID protocols.
That's right.
Even their players were lying to them. Yeah. And despite his team MVP worthy season, only because nobody else did anything for them. James Wilder became a little bit of a problem, at least the way fans thought, about three quarters of the way through the season. And that was a bad mistake. They jumped ship on Trevor Harris. And I think the only smart thing they did was when they brought in Arbuckle, they didn't play him because basically they didn't want to ruin him right away. And that's paraphrasing from what I've read from experts, but yeah. Okay.
But the regime that brought him in is now gone.
Yeah.
So there's no guarantee. So there's absolutely zero guarantee he's going to, well, he did resign
for next year. Yeah.
Yeah. But there's no guarantee that they're not going to cut him anyway come training camp next year.
No, because
they don't necessarily, who knows if they want him.
Mm-hmm.
It was, yeah. That, it was a, all the shit ran downhill in that organization this year. The floodgates broke. And yeah, they look like
shit this year.
Shit.
They looked like the turd that they looked like the first turd that they shat out. It's in the middle of the woods that you accidentally stepped into on your way to the campsite.
Yeah. And yeah, I was going to continue that metaphor and going, yeah, you could see the little bits of corn in there and. But I'm going to be sick if I do that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like I said, we'll just
we'll just save
garden in that crop.
No.
Everything's going bloody back on the Austin Powers franchise today.
What? I didn't have any corn. Hey, diaper lady, here's my diaper. We left a wee rosebud in there for you.
Hey.
That rosebud was the Edmonton Elks this season, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes, it was. They were even worse. Wait. Oh, yeah, because Ottawa won.
Yep.
Wait.
Yep. Yeah, Ottawa was the only team that was. Yeah, they were. Yeah, Ottawa beat them twice, so Ottawa won the season series against them. Therefore, yes. Edmonton is the winner of the Wooden Spoon this year.
Yep. And so exactly. I'm just going.
So we get there. So we get the 10th pick.
The Argos will draft 9th and 10th.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So they write their the Board of Governors in Edmonton has said they're working to have a new CEO in place by the end of January, so that basically they can start to get everything ready and in place for the off season. As quickly as possible. They've actually hired they've retained the services of talent acquisition firm Gallagher, previously Optimum Talent.
Whoever they are.
Gallagher. Yeah. So they're going to specialize in beating the Rough Riders then?
Well, I mean, if it's Edmonton, that's probably part of what they want to do, right?
Gallagher's dead.
Look, he will live on.
At least in stadium host Gallagher.
No, that guy. And failed TSN talk show host.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly, I did not think Edmonton was going to pull the trigger. I really didn't.
No, I think, wasn't Naylor and Lalji saying they wouldn't?
Yeah, and I think they probably thought the same, you know, the same way that you, it's a community-owned team. Changes like this take a long time. I mean, okay, I could see them, you know, Brock Sunderland firing Jamie Elizondo. But the fact that they just literally gassed everybody up at the top, I think that's where the big shock comes in.
Hmm. Well, those are cultural rot. Toxicity.
Yeah. And there's now been a lot of names thrown around, including a defensive consultant by the name of Chris Jones.
Would they really want him back, though, after the way he left last time?
Well, I mean, depending on how many titles they give him, you know, he left for more titles.
Mm.
And then he left for NFL money. So, you know, you give him, I don't know how many more, I don't think he's been president.
I have a feeling that the media guy next year is just going to be every single title on the team with Chris Jones's name next to it. So minority owner, Chris Jones, head coach, Chris Jones. GM, Chris Jones. Director of football operations, Chris Jones. Water boy, Chris Jones. Head trainer, Chris Jones. It's just going to be him.
Long snapper, Chris
Jones. They will have to hire Dwayne Mandruziak back as equipment manager.
Okay, so that's the only title that he's going to have to share.
Yes.
Yeah.
But otherwise, chiropractor, Dr. Chris Jones, huh?
Dentist, Chris Jones.
DDS. DDS. although, to be perfectly honest, I think the smart money for me would be Marcel Desjardins, just based off previous history.
Yes. Oh, that would be such a great decision by the Edmonton Elks. Such a wonderful job he did in Ottawa.
Well, he did. Well, to be quite honest, he did give him a cup.
Yes.
No, not if you listen to the right players. Henry Burris gave them a cup. Oh, just God. Ask him.
Just ask Henry Burris.
You can shove it.
I'm watching an old game with Henry Burris in Calgary.
Yeah, I didn't like that team.
When have you ever had anything nice to say about Calgary? They're going to win this weekend, by the way.
There was a couple days in 1995 where I listened to the wrong news report and mistakenly cheered for Calgary for about 3 days.
Oops. Were
they happened to be playing Baltimore at the time?
Yes.
Okay, I don't see the problem in that.
Well, I hated Calgary. and somebody who had a vendetta against American teams covered up the fact that the CFL screwed up the scheduling for the Stallions or the Colts or whatever they were.
Stallions.
Yep. And they didn't end up showing up to one event, but then they literally sent the whole team as opposed to the two players that were supposed to go prior to make up for the scheduling snafu that wasn't even Baltimore's fault. But the story came out that the American team was shunning their Canadian responsibilities.
Yeah.
Which I mean, in hindsight, with a Don Matthews led team, there's no way in hell they would have done that actively.
No.
But I think bringing on Wally Buono as consultant to figure out who they can put in there as a CEO, to right the ship, for lack of a better term, is probably a good thing.
They don't have any lakes in Edmonton.
Yeah, they probably got a pond somewhere. Somebody's got a pool.
But they got a river.
Yeah.
If you go to West Edmonton Mall, they have a lazy one.
Yeah.
Yes, I've been in the West Edmonton Mall.
Yeah, they've got a ship.
Pirate ship.
They've got a pirate ship in West Edmonton Mall. There we go.
Yes.
Pirate ship, the skating rink.
A hotel. Yeah.
Water park, theme park, hotel. I've been in the hotel, actually, but that was like 20 years ago. A sports
store that sells CFL stuff.
Yeah, they have that store there. Jersey City.
Yeah.
But yeah, I've been in the hotel, I've been in the water park, I've been in the theme park. I've been in both of their food courts. They've got one as your normal food court that's actually a little bit bigger than most food courts. And then they've got a full restaurant food court. Call it Bourbon Street. And you go down and they've got full restaurants there.
Mm-hmm. I've been down through there.
I haven't been in the casino there, though.
Northlands Casino? That's not.
I have no idea what it's called there.
Nah, Northlands moved ages ago. Well, not ages ago, but
I don't think they were. Northlands was never part of West Edmonton Mall.
No, Northlands was on the opposite side of the city.
Yeah,
it was near Commonwealth, wasn't it?
It's across the street. That's where it was.
Mm-hmm.
Northlands was across the street. It's a damn shame they moved the track, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of decisions in horse racing Alberta that
weren't
great.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it that way.
Yep.
We said we were going to do another show, but last week, is it because we had two games in 4 days, but
we didn't feel like doing a show.
No, it was kind of some PTSD from Tuesday.
Yes. Well, we were forced to have another game, a game that should have taken place in nice 25 degree weather in late August. However, the multiple members of the Edmonton Elks decided to have the coronavirus. So therefore, we were forced to freeze our nuts off at BMO Field on a Tuesday night in mid-November.
No, I mean, it wasn't that cold, it didn't rain a lot. So
no,
but 25 degrees and August would have been a little bit nicer.
Yes,
just a tad.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, we pretty much dressed every practice roster and reserve player we had.
Yes. Started more players on defense, I think.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you only have so many.
Yeah.
So many that you get. So.
The results were predictable.
Yeah.
Edmonton's quarterback could not move the ball against our B defense. And I don't know what the fuck I watched from the Argo offense.
No. We ended up losing that game 13-7.
Riveting.
Yes. We scored an early touchdown. And that was about it.
Yeah.
Well, Antonio Pipkin can run. But
yeah, we know that.
This isn't the 1985 Oklahoma Sooners. You have to know how to throw the ball. And he was playing with receivers he had probably in practice with and an offensive line that was kind of patchwork. But still, I saw nothing from him to
give you any confidence that he could step in and do the job.
Exactly.
No, I thought Pipkin's decision making was very poor. He locked into receivers. And yeah, he made bad decisions. I mean, I'm looking at a stat line, 10 for 22, 111 yards, and somehow only one pick. Probably should have been about three.
Mm.
He rushed the ball 9 times for 78 yards with a 34 yard run, which was nice. And the one touchdown. I've pretty much seen all I want out of Antonio Pipkin. I don't care if when you bring him in, everybody on the field knows what he's doing? Because that's the only thing he seemed to be good at. Let this guy run the ball. Wildcat QB. There we go. Option QB. Give him the wishbone.
Well, we need. We have fullbacks to run that.
We got lots of fullbacks.
Yes.
Wishbone, you know, I get some big eye, some, you know, heavy eye formation there. And just, you know, we have that little flip outlet pass if
what's the option? Has,
but now, you know,
85 Oklahoma Sooners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We also got to see Cole McDonald from Hawaii.
Old McDonald had a farm. E-I-E-I-O.
Except he's a young guy.
I know.
And probably not, doesn't have a
farm. Nice hair.
Yeah, nice hair. I was confused.
With what?
At times, he looked poised and looked like he knew what he was doing and looked a lot more confident than Antonio Pipkin. And then he would do something good, and then he would throw a ball and it just went in the wrong spot.
So are you saying he was a quarterback making his first appearance in the Canadian Football League?
Yes.
Yes. Ta-da.
I mean, honestly, when I was watching him go through his stuff, he looked like he was more confident in there than Antonio Pipkin. He did not give the air of somebody who was making his first start in Canadian football, but some of his throws just look like, yeah, this guy's very green.
Oh yeah, I remember this. What was that guy? The Argo running back was making his first appearance. Was it James White or something against Calgary, and the Calgary guy just wrecked him with a hit, and he never played again. Sorry, I'm way off topic. But that just happened in this game I'm watching.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, what did we learn from this
game?
What did we learn from this game?
Well, we learned that Tyler Cornelius, or what's his name? Taylor. Not the world's greatest quarterback.
No.
Through three picks. Two end zones.
15 of 32.
160 yards.
Yeah.
Touchdown run. Darrell Walker appears to have checked out.
Darrell Walker... He honestly looked like he was just there collecting a paycheck. He didn't look like he wanted to be there anymore.
Nope.
And I'm still confused as to why they didn't utilize Walter Fletcher a little bit more. But lesser men than me have been fired from that organization for making those decisions. So, yeah, that was a game. It was something. It wasn't. It was glorified preseason.
Yes,
it really was.
Game is the game. It's like watching a kind of a boring Whose Line Is It Anyway. The game is made up and the points didn't matter.
Yep.
That's right. The points don't matter. Just like Colin something. He would always make some joke about Colin.
Yes. Well,
not necessarily about Colin, about everybody.
Yeah. But I just picked the first name I remembered. And it was Colin Mockery's.
Yep.
Colin Mockery, Wayne Brady, Ryan Stiles, and...
Rando of the week.
What was the guy with the glasses? No, the guy with the glasses was on a lot.
Greg Proops.
Yeah.
Yes, him.
He was on the original, too.
Yeah, the English one, right?
Yeah.
As was Ryan and Colin.
Yeah, Ryan and Colin were on the English one, too, occasionally.
With Rando English guy.
Yes.
And sometimes Rando American guy on the British one.
Chip, mm-hmm. Charles Chip Esten.
The one thing I like about, I mean, our defense played good.
It did, yes.
Jalen Collins.
Has to be the lineup in the playoffs.
Yeah, this guy was fantastic.
Robertson Daniel was good, too.
Wasn't that his first game back in a while?
Yeah.
It was.
Yeah, they actually... I mean, he started the season as a starter, got hurt, and then when he got better, he couldn't crack the game day roster. He spent the rest of the season on the practice roster and finally got called up. I wasn't overly impressed with him, but
he got a pick.
I mean, he got a pick, but he was pretty much in the right spot for it.
Well, quarterbacks are supposed, I mean, they only threw over 160 yards.
Yeah. Well, we can call them defensive completions. Stat we can track for our defense. Well, geez, guys, we got playoff football this week.
We do.
Yay!
Are we going to throw the flags first?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Hold on.
We have two.
Illegal procedure. Defense. They made the offense move. 5-yard penalty. First down repeated.
Now, question is, do I start with the serious one or the... not so serious one.
No, we do the serious one first.
So, because the Argos had clinched the first place in the East, the bye, they decided to rest Boris Beattie for the game against the Elks and let the Japanese kicker kick.
Toshiki Sato.
Toshiki Sato. Okay. So, you know, I think this whole global thing has been, you know, admittedly, it's been controversial. I know, you know, people were kind of, you know, BC's kicker at the beginning of the year was a Japanese kicker who didn't quite acquit himself very well. But, you know, so on last week, the Argos score an early touchdown, and Sato goes for the point after. And the hold is not great, and the kick is missed. And then he started to punt off the side of his foot. And things were not going very pretty for the guy. Now, I'm not going to, you know, I'm not talking about the decision to play Sato. The fact is, it was a nothing game. But the reaction of some people in the crowd was, frankly, unacceptable.
Deplorable.
It's a guy making his first CF professional football appearance. The guy, you know, it was a nothing game. You know, there was going to be hiccups, whether you like it or not. And And I just thought some of the people in the crowd were treating him very poorly. And I don't want to really, I don't really want to bring up what the motivation was for that, but I certainly hope
Or some of the borderline slurs that were hurled.
Well, I didn't hear any of those, but I'm sure there were some.
I heard it from one guy.
Hey.
I did not see who it was or anything like that. I just like I'm not even going to pay that any attention. But yeah, something like that's a little bit unacceptable. I can understand as a fan, you feel like you have the right to criticize a player on the field, but the way it was done was embarrassing.
Well, I mean, there's a reasonable expectation that a professional kicker can avoid kicking multiple punts off the side of his foot. But again, he's not even a punter either.
No.
He's a kicker, and, just by happenstance that Boris Beattie does both jobs for us, that the Argos, I guess, didn't sign like a punter for 1 week, which why would they?
No.
But, in a nothing game, why not try to give the guy a chance to kick the ball?
Yeah. And I mean, to his credit, he did get a little bit more comfortable.
He did.
And because he did have a 60-yard punt. But it just kind of looked like they were really pushing him for the directional sideline kicks. And honestly, when you're not a punter, just let them kick it straight. You know, as much as I think some of that was what they asked him to do and not really realizing what his skill set was. Now, I do wish they would have allowed him to try and kick the one field goal at the end of the half, the first half. But, they said there was some reasoning that apparently didn't bring in that one extra point that he missed. But, yeah. And what was the second flag, Will?
Oh, so it was cold, and it stands to reason that people who are cold would like a hot beverage to help them stay warm. BMO Field. Their hot chocolate, the mix was off.
Oh, yeah, I've had their hot chocolate before. It's hot water with
something
to make it frothy on top with
mud.
Essence of chocolate,
yes.
And how much did you pay for that?
$4.50.
It's too much.
Well, so I bring
for Nesquik and hot water. That's way too friggin'
whoa,
much.
Whoa, oh, it wasn't whoa, Nesquik. Whoa. There's no way that was Nesquik.
Okay, so it was Nesquik that they bought at Dollarama or something.
I bring it back to the seat, and I haven't started drinking yet, but some of it kind of, not spills, but spills to the top of the, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I sort of turn to Clay and say, "What the?" You could tell at that point, like, something's really, really off. And the two guys in front of us kind of look back too and start laughing. And
they had hot chocolates earlier too.
Oh, so they knew. But yeah, it was a mixed game, BMO Field.
Yeah, it was the hot chocolate smells like it should taste slightly chocolatey, but it tastes like they may put some like powdered milk or something in there.
Yeah,
and maybe a little bit of food coloring. Like all it really is essence of hot chocolate.
Yep.
So playoffs.
Playoffs. Yeah. What are you talking about? Playoffs.
That's something we haven't seen in Quinn a fair bit.
Now we get to sit back and watch this week because we have a bye into the East Five. So we get to watch.
You get to sit in the luxury box. The luxury box. The luxury box.
I wonder if they have better hot chocolate in the luxury boxes.
Oh, probably. Wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah. So now we move to Sunday games. Montreal in Hamilton to take on the Ticats.
Yes.
For the fictitious feline of some sort.
You got the pigeons taking on a Frankenstein monster.
It's not really a monster. It's like, you know, two really shitty stuffed animals sewn together.
Ever see Pet Sematary?
Yeah, but these ones aren't scary.
I don't want to be
buried. No, who said anything about it being Pet scary?
Cemetery.
I haven't seen Pet Cemetery in like 2 decades, so.
No, Adriana Belli's hurt.
Oh, no. Adriana Belli's not playing this week.
No. But look, it's the defensive coordinator. And guess what? He's still the defensive coordinator. Or half of one, anyways.
Anyway, let's...
All right. Montreal and Hamilton. Montreal has...
It's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
Yeah. And Hamilton, it sounds like they're going to start Mazzoli.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but
I don't think they would have gotten any definitive conclusions against playing Saskatchewan's D squad. And the fact is, Dane Evans threw 2 interceptions against said D squad.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm looking at this game and going, okay. I want to see Hamilton lose, but I think the Argos have a better chance at beating Hamilton because there's nothing about that team that scares me.
I don't have faith in Trevor Harris to beat Hamilton. I have no confidence in it. And they can say William Stanback all they want, but Hamilton was number one against the run this year and kept staying back under wraps in both games. So,
but they do have an accomplished receiving core.
They do, but is their quarterback going to be able to get it to them?
Or is he going to turn back into Captain Checkdown?
Yep.
Worked for Anthony Calvillo for 20 years.
Yeah. But yeah, Anthony Calvillo was just a little bit better.
Well, yeah, he could hit the bomb when he needed to.
Anthony Calvillo was more like, you know, Admiral checkdown.
Yeah, because that was his bread and butter. Let's face it.
What about what was Ricky Ray then?
Lord
Grand checkdown. Admiral checkdown.
Lord checkdown. Ricky Ray was more royalty.
Mm.
But yeah, so who do you guys want to see come out of this game? Like, I don't know.
Well, we
this
all.
This is hard.
I think we all would like to see. Well, Montreal, I suppose.
We can beat them both.
Yeah, we can beat them both.
I mean, for this game in particular, there is a part of me that wants to see Montreal just waffle stomp them.
Uh-huh.
I like waffles.
Not the waffles I'm talking about. Go on Urban Dictionary, look up waffle stomp, you'll be disgusted. just because, well, just because we could just say, well, you're still losers for 21 years consecutive. Let's keep that streak going.
Yeah. But I would also like to be the ones to hand that to them.
True. But then there's that.
It's
if that backfires, look the fuck out.
Yeah. But
I can honestly handle losing to Montreal.
Yeah.
If it happens.
Not gonna happen.
Not gonna, but I can, but yeah. Yeah.
So
either way, they gotta come to us. And quite frankly, I don't care who we face. Because we're just gonna beat them all the same.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. And, I mean, since we're talking about this game, we might as well go to the odds and make our picks for this game. Now, if you happen to be looking at CFL.ca, the lines are not up yet.
Oh.
Isn't it 4.5? I thought I saw 4.5 somewhere.
For Calgary, it's currently 3.
Now, if you go to our league's betting partner, Bet Regal. They currently have the Hamilton Ticats favored by 4 points.
4 points, you say?
Yes. Now, I went searching, and I believe the Vegas line opened up at minus 1.5 for Hamilton. And I mean, Bet Regal has it. That was the other game. I don't even know anymore. I went to so many different betting sites that I'm trying to find
gamble,
the line.
Folks.
Just trying to find the line. Right. But yeah, our betting partner will go with that line. Bet Regal, Hamilton -4. The only thing I'm going to say is Montreal covers. I think it's going to be a tight game no matter what. Doug?
I think, Hamilton's going to have that home crowd advantage. That might tip it in their favor. But I can't bring myself to say Hamilton, so I'm going to say Montreal.
Will?
I just have no faith in Trevor Harris.
All right, we'll stop you there. Everybody knows what you mean.
Before I start firing out insults.
Yeah. and have to kick you off the show. Now, out west, we've got Saskatchewan hosting the Calgary Stampeders. Who
we do?
Yeah, we do. Who are
Taylor Field?
Well, no, they're
whatever it's called.
A couple fields away from that, their new Mosaic Stadium. Calgary is
just gonna win. Sorry, Cody Fajardo.
Well, Levi Mitchell has been hot and cold. He looked like hot garbage in the season finale, which made me happy. And Cody Fajardo, it never really looks very pretty being a quarterback. He just figures out a way to win. Marshall Ferguson is giving the advantage to Calgary on the quarterbacking realm, but I guess, history-wise, you kind of have to believe Levi Mitchell likes to get to the big game. He doesn't like to win it, though.
Well, he's 2-2 in it, to be fair.
Well, I mean, if they were to get to the big game, they're playing the Argos, so he's going to lose.
Yeah, well,
that's an automatic win. Hell, anyone who has to play us in a Grey Cup, it's an automatic win.
Yeah, for us. Lately. Yeah. I haven't lost one in a long time.
Uh-huh. 1987.
Huh?
The 80s. There wasn't even an internet yet.
Oh, I think there was. It just didn't have.
There was, just whatever.
It just wasn't in its current form.
It was not available commercially.
Universities had it.
Yeah, a couple did, not all of them.
But I think closer to the point back then, people could go to on the radio and bitch and moan on the post game shows now.
On CFRB Argo, this is Argos Football on CFRB 1010.
Yep.
Now they just do all their bitching on Facebook and Twitter. Mostly Facebook.
Yeah, some people choose Twitter, but
and kids back in those days, you had a good little library to do your assignments
and look in actual books.
Yes.
Back in those days, you would go to the library and look at the encyclopedias.
Encyclopedia Britannica.
You had options for encyclopedias at the library. Everybody seemed to have some decade of encyclopedias at their home. It depended on what decade your parents decided to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Or inherit them. And those worked for so long. And the library always had the each year's encyclopedias.
The World Book Encyclopedia.
I had Britannica.
There was Encarta too.
Not that far back. Encarta was mid-90s. Encarta was right before the internet. You had that one on CD. It came with Windows 95.
That's true.
Because I remember the only reason I remember that one is because that was the one where they had the map of Canada and they had it outlined where the future territory of Nunavut was going to be. I don't remember a lot, but I remember that for some reason.
Bless you.
This game, you could really kind of go through the head to head, and you know, one team's is ahead here, another team's ahead there. I think it's safe to say that Saskatchewan's defense looks a little bit better than Calgary's defense. But yeah, it's virtually a toss up here. I mean, we're going to find out who's going to go and play Winnipeg, and I'm not sure that's going to be that'd be a major upset if one of these teams comes out and beats Winnipeg. But it is a CFL stranger things have happened. The line currently, I believe, opened on the CFL site. It has it at -3 for Saskatchewan, so favored by 3 points. The current line on BetRegal has actually moved. When I pulled it up, it was Saskatchewan by 2.5. It's now Saskatchewan by 2. So a couple people are betting on Calgary here.
Yeah.
Will, you placed your bets on Calgary. That's why. Mm-hmm. I think Saskatchewan's going to win this.
I don't.
Well, we know that. And we know I think Saskatchewan's going to win. Doug, since you're the only one that seems slightly impartial, who's going to win this game?
For this game, slightly impartial? Oh, geez.
When did we ever say that we didn't have any biases towards anything? So that's what I mean by slightly, right? Like, so you're going to be the tiebreaker here.
Well, the only thing is, I'm kind of predicting that Calgary, it'll be a Calgary and Toronto Grey Cup, so I kind of want to pick them. But, I mean, Saskatchewan and Winnipeg in the West Final is very, very tempting to see.
Okay.
That's a tough one. It's tough. Yeah. Hang on.
Doug's crunching some numbers right now.
Calgary.
All right.
Good man.
The coin said Calgary.
Yep.
All right. So based on this and our picks and our these fantastic picks, we're going to be looking at Montreal in Toronto and Calgary in Winnipeg for the respective division finals.
Yes.
All right.
For the Big Four trophy. The Big Four. Hamilton, Toronto, Montreal, Ottawa. Big Four.
Okay. I was slightly confused. And not because I have 90s rock videos on in front of me, which are really fucking weird.
Well, it depends.
Jeff Johnson just had a nice catch from Michael Bishop.
So you mean he was actually on target on this one?
Oh no, it's 2007 Michael Bishop, so he was.
Oh, so he wasn't. So he wasn't Admiral Overthrow yet.
Yes. No, he wasn't Admiral Overthrow anymore.
Oh, he was
slightly above 50% passing Michael Bishop.
Yeah. Well, that was good, Michael Bishop.
Yes, that was good. This was, this is very bad, Henry Burris. And Akili Smith.
Whoa. That's a blast from the past.
Notable NFL draft bust, Akili Smith. And then there's Andre Talbot. Remember him?
Yeah, he was a nice
dependable receiver.
Yeah. Michael Bishop, the guy that could throw the ball 95 yards in the air.
Yep.
And I swear to God, I am probably wrong, but I swear I've seen like an 80-yard pass from him in the air in a game.
Well, he had a 70-yard to one of the Labor Day games against Hamilton.
Yeah,
it was a 70-yard just like in the air.
Yeah, that must be what I'm thinking of then. It's just got glorified over time in my head.
Yeah.
Because it was an insanely huge pass.
Hey, look, it's Steve Barato.
Apparently, the CFL is running fantasy in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, well. You know, based on my regular season, I didn't make the playoffs, so fuck that.
I don't think any of us made the playoffs.
None of us would have. None of us would have.
Touchdown, Arlen Bruce III.
I don't think you can add him to your playoff fantasy. No.
I'm old. His son is playing college football at Iowa now.
What I'd like to know is what was your final overall regular season point totals?
I'm not looking. I refuse to look.
Okay, let's
probably because you're crap. Well, anyway, move on.
Well, I had
played the last 2 weeks.
Okay, so Will, we know who gets the bronze.
I had 2 weeks where I forgot to make picks. So, what the hell is that? Season points. 901.6
FM.
If this were a video, I would be having a smug. I would be having a Jeremy Clarkson smug face right now.
All right, please tell me your.
You turn on. Turn on.
Please tell me it's 902.
No, I obliterated you. 1,105.7.
I would have been turn more impressed on your 902.
I will look if you must. No.
Next thing we know, then we see Wells got 1106.
Let's see here. View results.
Click on season.
Season.
Look up at the top, and then it should have your name in black.
919.7.
God damn it! I liked it better when you didn't look at your results.
Well, I'm silver.
From someone who didn't want to look, who would have happy taken the bronze, he just comes up and steals the silver from Clay.
I'm horrible at fantasy, man. No.
This is the reason why none of us are in the CFPN fantasy league, because we could just get smoked week in, week out.
I might have pulled out about 2 wins based on what I'm looking at.
Oh, I wouldn't have pulled out anything.
week 10, I had 106 points. And week 6, I had 96.8, so... Yeah. I mean, week 4, I had 12. And I did set a full lineup, so.
be quite honest, I was above 50 for the whole season.
But oh, I was all it. Over the place. You were consistent. I was not.
Consistently shite.
And somehow Will, who barely even played any of his fantasy weeks, beat me.
I think you and Rod had need to have a little bit of a confab about fantasy.
I need to reevaluate my fantasy options.
I would just talk to him and say, "Hey, can you give me a hand here? I want to obliterate Doug and Will next season."
Yeah, maybe taking Rod. No, Rod from Wood Cookie.
Oh,
he's
He's on another like six fantasy football podcasts now too.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'll take it seriously and probably be even worse. Meanwhile, we'll be here trying to put Akili Smith on his fantasy team.
Well, he was the ball carrier. 12-yard gain on the play. First and 10, Stampeders.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
Thank you, Eric. 3 minutes and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes
and we're out. Is this thing on? Yeah. Are you hearing it? For fuck's sakes, Will, did you really have to ruin the intro? Seriously. God.
Yeah, he did.
Oh.
All right.
Anyway. They haven't put a season to end pork rankings up yet. I don't know if they're going to, but I do have the week 15 one if you're interested.
All right.
Honestly, the first couple we're just gonna skim through. Bombers have been bacon all season. They're going to continue to remain bacon until someone decides otherwise. Argos are pork tacos for the final week.
Pork tacos.
Everybody loves pork tacos because they have a bit of everything that you like, and when you bring the flavor in all the phases, you have a chance. So, yeah. Let's see. The Stamps are luau pork. This is one of those low and slow meals. The longer you cook it, the better it gets. And right now, this bad boy is hitting peak flavor. Yum. That they are. They're hitting it. They're hitting it right at the right time. Let's see. The zombie team is pork cheek. So pork cheek, nice. Delicious stuff. It's something I can't pronounce. We don't get a lot of it with the piggy, but when you do, it's delish. Just pray you're getting the front cheeks.
the back cheeks are usually better though.
Back cheeks have way more meat.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Riders are good old Andouille sausage. I love me some Andouille sausage. The Southern Sausages of Kings, Cajun cooking staple. Not the main show in any respect, but brings nice flavor accompaniment to any dish. Andouille in a gumbo? Yum.
Yeah.
Gumbo's good.
Yes, it is.
The Owls were ground pork. Simple and straightforward dish. And if this group is going anywhere, it's going to be on the ground first. Cross your fingers and stand back.
Good one.
Tish. Lions are football ham.
Football ham?
You know that tiny ham in the grocery store? The one shaped like a football that reminds you of a football? Like, until you eat it? Yeah, that one.
Those aren't bad, though.
Now, I think you can easily switch the two up here. But the Elks were beanie weenies and the Red Blacks were pork lasagna. But I think you can switch those two up.
Pork lasagna, please.
Yeah, but anyway, to the beanie weenies first. Honestly, this is just a comfort food for me. After a couple of decent meals, it puts a smile on my face and a pucker on those around me. And then the pork lasagna. Sorry?
Wieners and beans.
Mm-hmm. The pork lasagna, always tasty, but better after it spends some time in the fridge. Maybe that's overnight, or a week later, or in this case, next season.
Mike or moldy by then.
Yeah.
So how come they didn't have pork Slovakia ever in the pork rankings? They're good.
I don't know. You can pose that question to the guy who makes.
And the beanie weenies. That's like a meal. That's an MRE. And they call it the five fingers of death.
Only if you don't cook it long enough.
I think even if you cooked it properly, it was still the five fingers of death.
Yeah, as long as you don't get dysentery from it, it's all good. Okay, all right. Tweets from Kazakhstan. I'm pretty sure there were some good ones.
He's got a few. Work. Yeah, he responded to Three Down Nation's tweet about releasing Liram Hirilahu. And Will, you'll appreciate this. Spelling is difficult. Yeah, recently he responded to Argo Fluffy, who posed moving the tailgate to close to Princess Boulevard. And he simply responded, "I know there should be a lot of goat barbecue, but I would bring the best."
Well, he would.
Probably would.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see what else. There's another one that he had here that I'm trying to find. What did you have this week, Doug, for him?
I'm just trying to make sure if I find the right ones.
Holy crap, he tweeted in English.
Yeah, I know, I saw that. Yeah, it was just one word.
It's
but
English?
Yep, yeah, well.
Well, one word, anyway.
Comments.
Very nice.
Just no, that's no. It's not no. It's not very nice. How much? It's comrades.
Well,
thumbs up. Okay, so all right. So the one I got must have been shortly after the game. It is. I'm guessing it was toward Sato-san. "We will give a break to a new player from Japan. It has strong wooden legs in the Kazakh forest."
Okay.
I guess he means like his legs are like tree trunks, I guess, but I don't know.
Something like that. I'm just going through. Oh, when the Argos tweeted out 35 season for Webby and then responded to their tweet with the, you know, star seasons. He responded very promptly, "English can be difficult. Be patient with yourself."
How great was that? You knew that was deliberate.
Yeah, that was total shithousery. Absolute shithousery.
But no doubt Danny Webb deserved all the accolades he got.
Yep. Yeah, Danny Webb Danny Webb is fantastic.
And before we forget, we do need to acknowledge the passing of former Argonaut head trainer Fred Dunbar, who was the trainer throughout the 70s and 80s.
And very influential in grassroots football in Ontario, yep. Too.
Guelph Griffins, too, I think he.
Guelph Griffins. He was very present. Prevalent in the Canadian Junior League in Ontario.
Yep.
Especially in Hamilton with the Hamilton Hurricanes. So, and
let's go to his family.
Yep. He will be missed, and hopefully he's left a good of an impression on young players in this province and beyond that will travel years beyond his passing. Now with that, I think the show is done for this week.
Anything else, Doug, for 3-minute warning?
Nah.
All right, well, where can they find you, Doug?
Actually, one last thing. One last thing, just make sure you check out the Argos on Twitter, just briefly, because they posted Hoagie's call of Chandler Worthy completely obliterating the ankles of Tunde Adeleke. Just
Curly Gittens Jr.
Curly Gittens Jr. obliterating Tunde Adeleke. Anyway, you can find me on Twitter at DougB519. You can find my group, The Double Blue Order, on Facebook at facebook.com/DoubleBlueOrder, on Twitter at Double Blue Order, on Instagram at The Double Blue Order. Make sure you get your Double Blue Order merch, including the law firm t-shirt, at doubleblueorder.ca.
And Will, where can they find you?
Well, when I'm not talking over the introductions, you can find me at ArgoFans or at www.argofans.com.
And you can find me at All Kinds of Clay on the Twitter and Instagram machines. You can find the Argos Fancast at Argos Fancast on the Twitter and Instagram machines. And anywhere you find your friendly neighborhood podcast, just search Argos Fancast or go directly to the argosfancast.podbean.com. And get your tickets for the East Final. They have opened up the upper deck on the east side, so we're looking to sell that place out. Go to argonauts.ca/tickets. That does it for the Argos Fancast this week. We're going to sit back and watch some playoff football and find out who we're going to play in the East Final. Cheers.